is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
This is only a test.
DJ's in MC. This DJ, he gets it out.
Listen to this disc jockey's introduction to
two DJs in a mic with your host, DJ Mike.
Is that a timetable?
And DJ JP.
Well, get on it. It's your time.
Give me the mic.
Okay, day two of Midwest DJ Live.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we got a giggle from the Mad Hatter.
You guys are like an old married couple right
here. Yeah, we are. Hey, we're gonna jump right into it. We got the Matt Redicelli, the Mad Hatter, the reigning champ and perhaps the two-time champion of the spinoff at Midwest DJ's Live.
We'll find out in about an hour or less than that. But either way, you're a champion.
But, appreciate it.
Yeah, Matt, we thank you for taking some time to sit down with us, man. And I kind of know your story, but Mike might not. So you want to tell us a little about the history of Matt, Rock the House, and everything else you got going on?
The story goes a little something like this. I started DJing when I was about 7 years old. Mom and Dad ran a nightclub. I happened to be around it for a long time.
Wow.
And just sort of jumped into the industry instead of going home to do that homework. I was in a booth in a nightclub, and that's how I cut my teeth. Like, Mom ran the nightclub, my dad was the DJ, and they would walk away, and I was spinning on vinyl when I was a kid. So that's how it started. And came up through high school, did some teen club work, school dances, and then I met a cat named Ryan Konikoff, who is still one of my best friends today, and he introduced me to bar and bat mitzvahs.
Okay.
That was a few years after I decided not to go to college and start a few other companies, but that was the game changer. And then, 20 years later, Rock the House, was a whole different beast. But that's the long and short of it. The most important part that I skipped over is I've got a beautiful wife and four kids at home.
I didn't know you had four kids.
But I do it all. I have four babies, baby.
Wow.
Four.
Yeah. Wow.
What are the ages?
Currently 18, 17, 14, and 13.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you almost get toward the end. Almost. Well, it's
never at the end.
I'd say 25 is the end.
Yeah. Never.
I know.
They will always be around.
I have 35, 32, and 22, so yeah, I know.
Yes, wow. And
35 might be worse than 22.
Okay. Well, one of the things, I was very pleased with your set. Like A-Rock, it was so many people that I really couldn't get close. I moved from where I was, but I was really pleased with your set and really pleased with everything that everybody done. It was very creative.
Yeah, very creative.
And one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is STEMs and how it has really enhanced, or maybe not enhanced, but it has really just brought out the creativity again in DJing. How do you feel about that?
I think that for people's brains that work a certain way, STEMs were like unlocking the thing that they always wanted and giving it to them at their fingertips when they thought that this thing was out of their reach, and all of a sudden STEMs became available for the masses, because if you've been in production a long time, you've known the word STEMs when it comes to NLE, multi-track, anything. You know, hey, I got the STEMs on that, and I made my edit. So if you've been in the game a long time, it's not new, but for you to be able to go like that, it's great. So you might have noticed, but that's part of the reason that I wanted to use the outboard, was that if I was trying to do something tricky, I wanted to be able to have all that stuff. So I'm not very fast. I don't DJ much anymore. So, I haven't DJed for money in like 10
Please
years.
Please stop. You were extremely fast, sir. And everything looked smooth as
Well,
as
I would
crisp.
Say, there's a fast, and there's a fast that that you could be or you used to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was ever that fast. Let's just say last night, the best part about last night for me was every one of those guys in the competition, they took risks. Nobody played it safe last night. So when you look at a guy like Carlos, who, by the way, if I were to give the crown to somebody today, it would be him. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
If you take Carlos, And you saw him doing things that were, in last year I thought he was the winner. Okay, so Carlos, I'm talking to you right. You were the winner last year too. He was moving around and getting in and out of stuff so quickly with his fingers. That's the stuff that I pre-edit into my edits because I can't do it fast enough. I would love to.
Gotcha.
It's like somebody that used to be the great athlete. 20 years later, their brain tells them they can still do the thing, but then they always will. And then they fall down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And they fall down. So anyway.
But you're right. I had the opportunity to be right there watching him.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man, this guy, his timing is impeccable.
Yeah.
And he had very minimal errors that he made for the most part. And when he did make errors, he corrected it so fast, if you wasn't listening, you didn't even know it was an error.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to give him props because last year, there's a criteria of the judging, right?
Yeah.
Like every competition. And if you're good in a competitive situation, you read the rules to make sure you follow the rules.
Yeah.
Well, the stage presence part of this competition is different than it is for Red Bull Freestyle or DMC or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos upped his game for his stage presence and his journey that he took the crowd on. So all I'm saying is he likes to learn and he likes to implement. So
it was good.
And like I tell everybody, man, you can say whatever. It takes a lot of nerve to get in front of all your peers and try to and DJ because it's
easy to do that in front of people that don't know you or don't know what to look for. But when it's in front of your peers, it's a different story.
You feel like one little mistake is echoed 300 times right in front of your face with all your friends. Yeah. And, oh, my God, this is like the biggest thing that ever happened, and it's right there.
But every DJ last night made mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one.
It's how they recover, because some of them didn't recover quick, so you could hear it for a little bit.
Fair.
But the other one, I mean, there's other ones. But, I mean, like I say, forget the mistakes. It's just getting up there and doing it. Because nobody's going to have a perfect set. If you do, maybe something's wrong.
I don't want to speak too much about Carlos, but, man, there were no sets or components last night that were like we had 10 unique independent competitors. We heard a couple of the same songs throughout the night, but man, they were so unique.
No, it was good time.
Yeah, it was good.
So when you're in that type of situation and you had the opportunity to go last, so what was the build up like for you?
For me?
Yes. I'm just saying because when you watched the show, it was like it was a roller coaster. Now, the first one, you know, Access did good. He set the bar, and then it may drop a little bit. It just kept climbing and climbing. So how did that affect your nerves?
It wasn't good for it. I'll tell you that. It wasn't good for it. And I don't think that it was a climbing. I remember when I used to train DJs that I would teach them that the moment that we hit a peak in what's happening for energy, if we didn't hold the energy and it fell off, it took you longer to build it back up.
Oh,
sometimes that was intentional.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we do it on purpose because that was the journey. Because we can't keep a dance floor for 3 hours grinding the whole time. It's not healthy. It's not possible.
Yeah, no.
So last night, what I was watching, what's happening in my brain is I'm watching the dance floor and I'm going, man, dude just crushed it, whoever it was. Then the start of the next one was rough.
Yeah.
For the first little bit. Then you saw them slowly get back into it. So going last was not good for my brain.
Wow. Where would you rather have been? Like first, third, or in the middle?
I think I would have preferred not knowing that the crowd had already done this.
So why? Why be in there? Well, you need to know. Yeah.
Well, that's tough. I was there to support.
Right.
I wasn't there. Yeah. There was never a situation where I would have changed the song in my set. I was there to support. I was there to smile at those guys and, you know, give them high fives and whatever.
Get in their head, too.
And learn as well.
I would say you
pick up on things as well because it's like, oh, man, I wouldn't have did that way, but, man, I like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
What else? Anxiety?
Yeah.
That was definitely happening. And the fact that it was hot, right? So, like,
was it hot because you were, your nerves? Because I was cold.
You were not cold last night.
I'm telling you, I was cool.
It was cool up there, though.
It was 97 degrees in that room last night.
I had a different energy. I've been saying you know, I'm not going to say you were in the hot seat, but you know, the seat was
warm, was sizzling, definitely warm, definitely warm.
And it's like every time someone goes, it's like, man, I'm getting closer. You know,
but you know, it's funny you say that, because I watch Nate, because I know we know Nate from Dallas, and I was watching Nate, and he was getting—I mean, he was in the back room one time, head just red, he took his hat off, his head was just, and I just saw, you know, as he was getting ready to go. But I like I say, it takes a lot of nerve to do that in front of you know, everybody that watches you. You know,
no, it's not easy.
Have you ever battled before?
I have, yeah.
In my younger years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know about you, but I say this thing. I did it for Midwest last year in Marquee, and I said it again this year. Is like the month leading up to a battle.
Oh, boy.
I ignore my family and all the important things in my life. Like I'm kidding, right? But literally, the amount of mental energy that gets put into that's all you think about leading up to it. That's it.
So let me ask you, how long did it take you to put together that set?
You seriously want to know?
Yeah, of course we want to know.
That 10 minutes represents about 60 hours of work for me.
I can agree.
Because and then how many times did you do it, or how many times have you done it, like this week? Or
well, the way that I build sets is that every track that I have has a number of cue points.
Uh-huh.
For what's being done, and I throw multiple things together for speed. It's kind of like using Scratch Bank, but uh-huh. I do it in the tracks. And the reason is because I had a computer failure right before a battle a long time ago, and I realized you can't set up your sample in Scratch Banks fast enough to use a backup laptop if you make changes in your set. So it's the same thing, but in the tracks, right?
That happened to one of the DJs last night.
Did it?
Yeah, the tall guy in the blue jacket.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he said his computer froze and he couldn't load a track. Remember when he was playing Everybody Dance? No, the song by CC Music Factory. Yeah, Everybody Dance. Yeah. And it froze on
like the third guy.
And he couldn't get it to come back.
Yeah, well, you live and learn, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyways, it all starts with whatever's happening in your brain. Lots of notes. You know, I'm at my daughter's basketball game, and I'm just sitting there with nothing in my ears, but I'm just sitting there watching the basketball game going like this because I'm hearing LL Cool J in my head. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like just, but 60 hours, yeah, man.
Yeah, wow. But it was good. It was great, man. I really enjoyed it. And the one at Marquee last year was, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
The hats were the thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That one was nice, but I would say I enjoyed this one better.
Why? I agree, but I want to know why.
It looked like you took your time to me.
Well, I'm talking about overall.
Smooth. Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm talking about overall. The energy was different. And it was, the competition was different. It was no egos.
Yeah, because that one guy last year on the turntables.
It was friendly. What, the first guy?
Well, whatever his name is.
The bald guy?
Oh, the brother from Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever.
But anyway, we're not talking about that. But I'm just saying the energy was different for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, competition is good, but sometimes it's unhealthy. And it turns into something else. And I didn't see that last night. Yeah. Everybody was supporting each other. Everybody was there for the right reasons. And everybody, for me, I heard better sets last night than I heard overall in Chicago.
Yep.
I couldn't agree with you more. Everything last night was about camaraderie and community, and everybody supported. Like you should see the Instagram thread in the private messaging we had with all those DJs.
We were looking
everybody
for it.
Was just, man.
Because we were trying to get all the names. He was trying to make a post this morning, and I couldn't find all 10 names nowhere.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll help you guys out with that. But I agree with you. I think that stepping into that sort of competition, it is worth saying, though, that this is a friendly competition here at Midwest DJs Live. So it isn't, and people are quick to point this out, it isn't Red Bull 3 style.
No.
It isn't a DMC battle.
No.
Is you'd have plenty of ego in the room.
Oh, it'd be different.
Yeah, right? Different.
So, and I'm glad it's not, because there's enough pressure as it is.
Oh, yes. So, going back to the stems, how has stems helped your life as far as just having it right there? You're already familiar with the, you know, having access to that, but having it on a controller and the little nuances that they've added to it, how does that make you feel?
Well, I can only speak as it relates to the competition, because stems weren't around when I stopped playing for money. You know, my last paid event as a DJ and an MC was about 10 years ago. But I'll tell you this, if I was ever going to produce tracks, you know, even for like corporate productions, I'm trying to make a walk-up thing for a CEO and it's the right moment, the right whatever, I go to search the library, which is massive, and I don't have that instrumental or I don't have that, that one part of that song that I need that's just the acapella. Well, you bail. The moment you can't find it, you're like, oh, I got to think of another idea. Well, now I don't have to.
Nope.
Because now I can just use an app like Stemverter or something AI-based, or I can just go and see. I always want to know which gets it better, the app that I've got or Serato. And and it's not always the same because it depends on how the track's produced. But
yeah, it's different.
What's the name of that app again?
One of my favorites is Stemverter. I think it does a really nice job. It's got some nice macros of different combinations of bass line plus drums, acapella plus other and features. So it'll pull out the little things in the back of a track and isolate them.
That makes a separate. Big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. How Stems affected my life? Not that much. They're not like changing the world for me. But I sure am glad as a creative that they exist.
Well, if you were DJing, you probably feel like a lot of us do. Man, this is great. You know, you don't have to turn a knob to get crowd reaction. You could just hit a button and take
the it's a great thing.
Okay, so Dave Lander reached out to me, and first of all, I was super excited to hear from him. Dave Lander and Alex Nepa asked me last year to cover some gigs for them. And I think I paid them, just so you know. I pay other DJs to let me play in clubs.
Call me man.
Okay. Listen. Dave Lander asked me to play a casino gig in Pittsburgh. And I borrowed from Rock the House. I borrowed a...
That sounds so crazy. They should just give it to you.
FLX-10?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was brand new in the box. I walked into the casino with this giant box for the FLX-10. And I put it down, I set all my stuff up, and I saw these buttons. I was like, oh, what is this? It was the circle thing that's got the vocals. And I had so much fun that night. I use Stems with my S9 and my other whatever, but just to see that it was right there and do this.
It is.
Like, that was so...
And the way you can do it with your faders and put it in there, you can... It's incredible what they've done with Stems, man. It's just... thank you, whoever just decided to give us that magic.
Oh,
we
love it. Because it was... For me, starting in the 80s, we always had to, we had no idea of doing
anything. But you got acapellas and instrumentals.
But I know, but that's different. You know, with the Stems, I may want the melody in the acapella. I may want the bass line.
Oh, yeah.
I may want the kick drum. It makes a difference. So for me, it was like, the clouds open up, God smiles.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's right. We can all hold that. We can agree that we aren't spring chickens. Yes, can we agree?
Oh, yes.
Some of these young bucks though need to keep their fingers off those Stem buttons. Can we agree? I agree.
I wish when they push the echoes that it will blow up the whole board because it's just so aggressive. It's like. We were at a DJ contest. You remember we were doing a show in Dallas?
Uh-huh.
And the guy that was DJing.
The house DJ.
Man, he hit that horn so many times.
I think it was 30 times per song.
Dude, I'm talking about, it
verse,
was like.
Horn, verse, horn. Chorus,
you
horn,
get a horn,
horn.
You get a horn.
Everybody in the room gets a horn.
I'm talking about, I was like, if this dude hits this damn horn.
But it's crazy
because
I went to him because I said, hey, can you put this on that jump drive for me? I need to get that horn.
Wow. He didn't tell me that. This is the first that I've heard that.
Well, I asked Valente to get it.
If I would have saw that, I would have threw a Coke can at him. Full Coke can.
No, it was a different horn, but
he
was overusing it.
You know
what?
I liked it when I first heard it. I hated it when I left.
Yeah, by the time please don't ever play that again.
Because
great DJ. He had great skills. He didn't need all of that, but man, it was, whew.
But going back to what you just said, I think makes a great point. It is so accepted in today in our industry, mediocrity. You don't have to do any of these other things. And when you speak against that or try to help someone, you get ridiculed. And we were having a conversation, and it may be a little bit over the top, but I was telling Jeff, I said, how would you feel if, we get a pilot today and he just says, I think I can do this.
I bought a plane.
Yeah, and we're going to fly you to, we're going to fly you guys to Milwaukee. I don't know if we're going to make it, but you wouldn't get on the plane.
I think that's a pretty aggressive viewpoint.
Oh, very. Okay. I'm aggressive.
And I... The thing is that I agree with you.
That's the sad part, though.
What I want to ask as a different perspective.
Yes, please.
Is that,
please.
Listen, we're talking about planes. We're talking about doctors. We're talking about, like, these are life and death situations, right?
I got it, but I have more.
Murder on the dance floor is not a real thing, okay? Okay, so this isn't life and death.
Okay.
Here's what I think. I think that DJing is one of the things that is such a beautiful opportunity to allow mediocrity to grow into something that becomes masterful. Here's what's really unique about DJing.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Stay with me.
Okay.
What other jobs do you have where you cannot be good at your job, mediocre, like a lot of people are there, that still have to show up on Saturday night, do the damn thing, and still get paid, and then, even if they didn't do a good job, still get to go do that thing again next week? So imagine you're mediocre. You get to show up. You got to do it. Whether you're ready for the announcements or not, you still have to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mispronounce a name, whatever it is. We're talking about weddings, whatever. So if you're mediocre 100 times for 100 events over the course of a year, you can't tell me you're not better the next year than you were when you started, because you just did 100 mediocre events. So my problem with mediocrity is if the needle never moves. Yeah. But I'm not trying to get mad at guys too often that just don't know yet because they haven't been in it yet, or they don't have the right role model or whatever it looks like. But I fully appreciate gutting somebody, gut checking, and be like, bro, you need to level up.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and to be honest with you, it's, for me, it's not about anger. It's about, hey, care enough about what you're doing to learn to be better, because
yeah,
neither of us started up here.
Yeah.
It was a gradual process.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I appreciated that process. My very first time being in front of a crowd was people that I went to school with. You know, I went to the ninth grade and we did the dance for our junior high school. So everybody that was in the eighth grade knew me. And that was the most terrifying moment in my life, because when I got up there, everybody stopped, turned around, and looked at me.
That's what you thought.
Oh, no, they did. And I was a deer in headlights. And it was a train wreck. And it wasn't because I hadn't worked and I didn't know what to do. I knew what to do.
How many other kids were at that dance?
And it seemed like 1,000.
And do you think, okay, there was probably 72 kids there.
Yeah, I'll give about between 50 to 75.
Okay,
yeah.
So do you think that any of those 50 or 75 remember you at that dance?
Oh, well, maybe, maybe not.
Let's hope you
some of my
some
close
lives,
friends.
But isn't it amazing how we see things so differently?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, the thing is,
our perspective is the only perspective that matters.
Yes.
To us.
To us, yeah, to us. Yeah.
Until somebody changes.
Yes.
But no, it's not about anger for me. I just would love to see us push forward. I would love to see the older guys be more willing to help instead of talking down. Because we have a problem that, you know, in certain groups, guys can't ask questions. You say certain things, they're ridiculed. And I think that's the wrong approach.
What are we talking about here? We're in the wrong groups then.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we are. I'm not even a part of those groups. But it's just a sad thing when you hear that and see
wrong.
That. Yeah. You know, because we all started somewhere.
Yep.
You know, and it's about the process.
So speaking of that, I guess we could jump right into MentorPods. You can tell us
please.
About what you're doing for them.
Yes.
What's MentorPod? What's that?
Come on, man. You did
we
it in the middle of your
like
show.
We would like to know.
You had an advertisement in the middle of your set. Man.
Yeah.
Am I the first guy that's ever done that?
Hey, hats off to that. I was like, wow. I said, this dude here is something else.
He just played a commercial.
You don't think that was taking a chance?
Oh, I know it was taking a chance.
Okay, so said everybody else took a chance. You took a chance.
Oh, I
could have went.
My biggest chance last night, and I got to give Mike Villa credit. Mike Villa and I were walking around last night before the competition started, and I was telling him how nervous I was. And he was like, oh, man, I saw this battle a couple weeks ago, and this guy, he tanked a juggling routine right in the middle, and he stopped the records. He took a deep breath, and he said some swear words on stage, and he started again, and he tanked it again.
Oh, my
He dove out. He stopped it again, and Mike said this to me, and we're walking around. He goes, I respected the heck out of that guy because he finished the thing. He said out loud, I'm going to get this right. I practiced it. I rehearsed it. I'm going to perform this routine on the stage. And when Mike said that to me when we were walking around, I thought to myself, okay, Matt, let it go. Let it go. So that was the reason that I went for it and took the chance. I don't know if you guys saw, but I did four back-to-backs with one hand.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on somebody's camera.
Well,
That was something that I've never done live. I've seen people do it, and I was excited to do it. But anyways, yeah, taking some chances and whatnot.
But come on and tell us about, you know,
Menopause.
Yeah, come on, tell us.
The commercial was a chance, was the point.
Yeah, it was good, though. It was excellent.
It was genius.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks. Mentor Pods, it's a group coaching platform for small business owners, okay? It's not just for the entertainment and event industry, but it's really simple. If people are growing their businesses or struggling with the businesses they have, Mentor Pods helps, okay? We meet weekly for 90 minutes a week. We teach one independent lesson every single week, and our instructors, including me, we're alongside of you for a whole year for accountability, for education, all the tools, all the tricks, all the stuff that I've learned and helped other people with. That's what it is, man.
So where can they find you at?
Mentorpods.com is the easiest thing. If you want to know and learn about the program itself, mentorpods.com is where it's at. I'm very accessible. You can track me down on social.
Extremely.
Matt Radicelli. I'm extremely responsive.
Extremely.
And, I'm sure we could maybe put some information in the footnotes on this podcast.
Yeah, we will.
Yes, we definitely will, sir.
Yeah. So, wow. It's always, like I said, Matt is quietly one of my heroes. You don't know that. Because my first mobile beat I went to, you spoke, and I was like, damn, man, that guy is putting it freaking down.
Thanks, man.
And what they're doing, I say, okay, now I can go back. So when I went back, I went sat down with five DJs and told them my plan after I listened to you and a few other DJs. And I said, now, if they can do that in Cleveland, we could do this in Dallas. One versus five doing the same thing, putting it all down. None of them wanted to do it. They didn't trust or whatever. So 3 years later, one the guy who's with me now, that my partner, he came back to me, Jeff, I think your plan will work. And we have been doing it for the last 4 years, and it has done nothing but soar. So now I really want to get into the production side, because the next time I heard you speak, you got into the production side. And I know I heard that number 1 point something. And I said, okay, now I need to get more to the production side. But I really thank you. All you guys pushed us to quit our jobs and go and do it full time. And I tell my wife all the time, because she loves to hear you speak too. So, yeah. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
So I told Mike he would like you once he met you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I appreciate
it. I like you too, Mike.
Yeah. Hey.
No, but just admire what you're doing and the different things you're doing. And I wish I could go back and let you see the first time I hear him speak. I'm sure they got it somewhere, but it was really a game changer for me.
Yeah, where it shows. I'm just grateful to be in the scene and to see everyone and to converse with everyone, because everyone has a story. And that story is always helpful. And to me, when I watch all the guys, I'm just a sponge. It doesn't matter how old, I'm a sponge. I'm here to learn.
Yeah.
Even when we're sitting here talking to people, which is always great.
Yeah.
Because we get to hear their perspective.
Yeah.
And I take something away from everyone that we talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, man, we want to thank you for jumping on with us.
Oh, yes.
And it's just been a pleasure to sit down and chat with you, man.
And congratulations again.
Because you were on the list. I told all the staff, and said, I want Matt, I want this person, that person.
Yeah.
And we're glad you came and talked to us.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yeah. And it was a good time. It's a good time. We're going to see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a couple of minutes.
It's coming up in about an hour now.
Is it
9:27.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Are you still nervous?
Yeah, I'm nervous. Listen, last year I entered the competition and did the hat thing and all the stuff that I did because I wanted to say out loud, you guys take yourselves way too seriously.
Do we?
Yes, DJs do. They take themselves. So the battle concept. Last year, what do you say about Marquee?
Yeah, it was too serious.
That's how in previous years, even this show has felt. So I wanted to come in and be like, first of all, I don't DJ anymore. And second of all, I'm going to wear some hats and do some silly stuff. But this year, once I saw the lineup, I was like, bro, I got to actually DJ.
I got to bring it.
I'm not switching my hats out. I don't have time.
Yeah, you don't have time this time.
Man, yeah. Competition is a wonderful thing. Yeah.
It sure does drive us, isn't it?
Oh, yep, yes. Yep, yeah. Yep.
For the right reasons.
The winner will be announced in about at 10:20, y'all. So we're going to let him go and get some coffee or whatever. And He's good. If you get,
thank you.
You got three votes here.
I think it was a great set.
You would definitely win on the Two DJs and the Mic podcast.
And for me, it's between you and Don Gallo.
Yeah. So
I appreciate you saying that.
It's between you two guys. You guys really had well put together sets,
yes.
and you worked through the sets with little or no mistakes. So
yeah.
I didn't get to see.
But you know, I heard it on tape, so you can probably watch.
We need some cameras next year.
Cameras and TVs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to talk to him about it. Yeah.
Let's do it.
And perhaps a bigger room, or maybe just do it in this room.
That would be better on the stage.
Yeah, because like we got a whole bunch of women to dance with anyway. So
because you can put a couple of big screens on. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying it's not like we're having a dance party. We just want to see
it's just us and DJ.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all, we're gonna be out. We thank Matt for sitting down with us and take us out, Mike, because you will talk for months.
Wow, really? Yeah. Okay, bye, guys. Somebody is delusional.